good morning once again. For our passage today, we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. So go ahead and take out your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. This book was one of the epistles that Paul wrote during his time as a prisoner in Rome. And at this point, Paul is aware that the end of his life is near. And it's definitely bearing pretty heavy on his mind as he writes these words to his friend and protege, Timothy. Our passage once again is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And it says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our study this morning. Father God, as we open your word, Lord, and just have the privilege of diving into it, Father, I just pray that you would bless our time, that you would reveal your truth to us, God, and that you would, as a result of this, help us to grow nearer to you and to be better disciples of you. We ask this in your name, Father. Amen. Imagine with me that instead of it being the year 2016, that rather the year is now 2086. So for our high school graduates, rather than being, say, age 18, you're now 88 years old. You're looking back, you're reflecting on the life that you've lived, you're looking back on the ups and the downs, the highs and lows, and all of the experiences that have made your life what it is. Maybe you retired as a highly successful president of a Fortune 500 company, or maybe you published a novel and had literary critics and popular press just raving over your creativity. Or maybe you lived your life like most people do, quietly, without fame or fortune, but with the satisfaction of knowing that you made a difference, that you had an impact, knowing that the children that you taught or the leadership you displayed or the love that you gave to your family and friends had a positive and profound impact on their lives, that in some way you were a blessing to those you came into contact with. That's the sort of reflection that we see the Apostle Paul doing in the verses that we just read. The Christian life is a marathon, not a sprint. Finishing a marathon well is not easy. So if you ever see someone sprinting across the finish line of a marathon, you'd better ask them what their secret was. This is how the Apostle Paul lived his life. It's almost like he crosses the finish line. He still has energy to spare, so he jogs back to where Timothy is apparently running out of steam, and he encourages him to finish well. In our passage, we see Paul looking back on his life and telling his young friend Timothy, who is like a son to him, that he is ready to die and that he's passing the baton off to him. Now, that doesn't sound like a very happy topic for us this morning, but Paul's words are not those of a discouraged and broken old man. There's no despair, there's no defeat, no cynicism, and no fear as he faces imminent execution. Paul was able to look back on his past in Christ and confidently say that he had done well. Now, that's not to say that he lived a perfect life or that he never made a mistake or that he never felt discouraged. Of course, he had done all of these things. But through all the problems, through all the trials, Paul had stayed in the race. He could say, "I have done what God has called me to do." So I want to suggest to you this morning, think of yourself 70 years from now, or 50 years, or 30 years, or 5 years, and ask yourself the question, what do you want your life story to have been? When you come to the end of your life, what do you want your thoughts and your feelings to be as you look back on the years that are still ahead of you? So just like in the movie, let's go back to the future with Paul and imagine ourselves reflecting on our lives 70 years from now. Let's read our passage one more time. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." As I said a little bit ago, Paul is writing this letter to his friend Timothy. For high school seniors, Timothy would have been about your age, maybe a little bit older, but not by a whole lot. And Paul knows that if he wants to grab Timothy's attention, if he wants Timothy to understand and connect to what he's saying, he's got to use examples and illustrations that Timothy is going to get. So what does Paul do? He talks about sports. Now, you may not have known that sports were in the Bible, but here we have it right here. I'm really excited about this sermon because my wife, whom I love very much, doesn't really like it when I talk about sports on Sundays. So here I get to talk about them from up front. It's kind of cool. But we've got four sports metaphors here. Paul, he says, I have fought the good fight, is the first one. Then he says, I finished the race, followed by, I have kept the faith, and finally, I have won the trophy. Now, this morning, I want us to walk through these four sports metaphors and see if we can learn from Paul the secret to living a successful life. Because when you are 88 years old or more, and you know the end of your life is near, it's too late then at that point to go back and live your life again. Unlike church softball league, there's no do-overs in life. You've got to get it right the first time around. When you look back on your life, will you be able to say, I have been involved in the struggle for the cause of Christ? Because the first thing Paul tells Timothy after he says the time of my departure has come, which means I'm going to die soon, is I fought the good fight. A quick history lesson here. Paul lived in the first century, and this letter to Timothy was written in about 67 AD while Paul was in prison in Rome. Paul was executed not long after writing this letter. He was executed under the orders of the Roman Emperor Nero. Paul's only crime was being a follower of Jesus. But Nero was using Christians as scapegoats. He was blaming the Christians for all the problems that the Roman citizens were facing. He blamed them for his own failures as a leader and his lack of disinterest, his disinterest in his people. And so the persecution of Christians began under Nero and then extended for about 250 years under each successive emperor. So Paul knows that he's going to die. But Paul knows Roman life, too. Because Paul, even though he's a Jew, is also a Roman citizen, which means Paul knows all about the athletic contests and sporting events that take place across the Roman Empire. In ancient Greek times, wrestling and boxing, as we know them today, were combined into one sport, which was called pancration in the Greek, which, when it translates to English, means with all might or with all force. And in ancient times, there were no rounds, there were no boxing gloves, there were no time limits. The contest was over when one man raised his index finger, which was a sign of surrender, or when it became very clear that one man was not going to win the fight, at which point the other man was proclaimed the winner. There was a referee who had a switch, and he would make sure that nobody broke any of the three rules, you could not gouge at the eyes of your opponent. You could not bite your opponent, and you could not attack your opponent's genitals. Anything else was fair game. So there was a referee to make sure everybody abided by these rules and that nobody died during the contest. And there was a judge to oversee the fight and to proclaim a winner. So Paul tells Timothy, I have fought the good fight. He's using this athletic metaphor to convey to Timothy that the Christian life is not a picnic, but rather it is a struggle against the forces of evil. And it's not just any fight. It is a good fight. The fight for the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the salvation of the people that he loves. Can you currently say, I am involved in the struggle for the cause of Christ? Let me help you answer that question, because you cannot say so if you are primarily living for your own comfort and for your own wealth. If you're spending your time and your money on the pursuit of the American dream. You may be in church every week. You may profess to know Jesus as your Savior, but if your purpose in life is to be as wealthy and as comfortable as possible, then you are not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You are not involved in the struggle for the cause of Christ. But on the other hand, if your goal in life is to build up the body of Christ and to extend his kingdom through your time and your money and your efforts in accordance with the gifts that God has given to you, then you are involved in that struggle. You know, what a fulfilling thing when it comes time to die, to be able to look back on your life and to say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. Okay, so we're going to move on to a different sport now. We're moving from pancration to track. And Paul says, I have finished the race. Now, Paul is referring to a long race here. He's talking about a marathon. And the word marathon actually comes from a geographic location where a decisive battle took place between Greece and Persia in the year 490 BC. Now, if the Persians had won this battle, world history would have looked entirely different. The wonders and marvels of ancient Greece that you and I know today would never have happened. But there's a legend that goes along with this battle, and that is that after the battle, a Greek soldier ran the distance from Marathon to Athens to spread the news of the Greeks' victory. Now, depending on the route that he took, this would have been a 21 to 25 mile run. Based on that legend, the modern marathon race began between Marathon and Athens in the 1896 Olympics, and it was lengthened to the present 26.2 miles in the 1908 Olympics. But just like the soldier in the legend, Paul didn't quit. When he was thrown into prison in Philippi for freeing a slave girl from an evil spirit, Paul didn't quit. As a matter of fact, at midnight, when he's chained to the wall, he and Silas are singing, which I'm sure probably irritated their fellow prisoners, but there's just something about Paul's attitude. And when an earthquake opens the prison doors and shatters the chains that are holding Paul and Silas, they didn't run out to try to escape. Rather, they stayed and shared with their fellow prisoners the story of how God had saved them. And when Paul was shipwrecked off the coast of Malta, he could have said, you know, this whole traveling around and preaching at different churches all across the Mediterranean is just, it's too much for me. I'm stressed, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, you know, I'm going home. But Paul didn't quit. And when the other apostles and the earlier followers of Jesus Christ were criticizing Paul for not being one of the original disciples, Paul defended himself by saying, "Jesus himself has called me." He didn't quit. And finally, when Paul is old and tired and probably sick, he travels to Rome to appeal his case, the case of the gospel, before Caesar himself, which is Paul's right as a Roman citizen. Paul continued to write letters. He continued to pray for all those who he had met and preached to. And he kept on telling the story of how God changed his life that night when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. No, Paul didn't quit. Paul finished the race. He completed the task. Paul did what God called him to do. He started churches among people who weren't Jews. He debated with Roman orators in debate halls all across the empire. Paul didn't quit. He finished. He stayed in the race that he started until the very end. Now, we all can probably think of somebody who, when they started out their Christian walk, there was just this flurry of enthusiasm and activity and excitement. You know, maybe they even went into full-time ministry. But when the trials and the storms and the disappointments hit, they dropped out. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a place for rest, because we all need to take a break every now and then to get rejuvenated and renewed. But we get back in the race. We don't quit. So for our graduating seniors, but and for everybody, I want to encourage you this morning, don't quit. When life gets tough while you're at college for the next 4 years, don't quit. You know, when other people think you're crazy for giving up the possibility of a job that pays way more money for a job that puts you in the line of ministry or service, don't quit. When the task seems too hard or when the days seem too long, don't quit. Now, I've never run a marathon myself, but I know that there's no such thing as an easy marathon. So we need to get it out of our heads that the Christian life is all glory and effortless bliss. There is joy, but there are also many trials that require endurance. So resolve in your heart and in your mind to hang in with the Lord through the tough times so that you can look back at the end of your life and say with Paul, "I have finished the race." Don't quit. Finish the race. Do what God has called you to do. Okay, so at this point, you're probably thinking, all right, Rodney, I'm with you so far. I get the whole boxing, wrestling, pancration, fighting a good fight thing, and I understand running and finishing the race, but I'm just not seeing the connection on this next part. What is Paul talking about when he says, "I have kept the faith," and what in the world does that have to do with sports? Well, it does still have a connection to sports, albeit not so overtly as boxing and wrestling or running. But like finishing the race, it has to do with endurance. When Paul said, "I have kept the faith," he was saying that he had kept or he had upheld the divine appointment that God gave him on the Damascus Road, that he would be Jesus' messenger to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 9, verses 15 through 16 says, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.'" When Jesus commissioned Paul, he made it clear that the appointment would require a lot of suffering. But Paul never wavered in his commitment. He trusted that he would soon experience an eternal glory. Now, keeping the faith is never easy. Without question, Satan wanted to derail Paul's work by opposing him far and wide. There were Galatian legalists. There were Colossian Gnostics. There were Judaizers at every turn. There were forged letters. There were slanderous attacks on his integrity, on his personal appearance, and on his unpolished speech, not to mention the physical beatings that Paul took. He was truly hard-pressed on every side. But Paul's faith was the victory. Earlier in this same book, in 2 Timothy 1:12, he writes, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." What God had committed to Paul, Paul also committed back to God. And through it all, Paul looked forward to the moment when he would hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." As believers in Jesus, we too should keep the faith. What has God called you to do with your life? Whatever that is, do it with all of your might. Just as Paul longed for his appearing and anticipated receiving that crown of righteousness, we also should serve the Lord and fulfill his plan for our lives. Okay, we're on our last point now for this morning. Finally, Paul says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing." In these Roman games, whatever it may have been, whether it was Pancration or a race or any other event, the winners would stand before the emperor's seat, and the emperor would come, and he would place a laurel wreath, which was a crown made of green leaves, on the heads of the winners. But it wasn't the wreath itself that the winners wanted. It's just leaves. But it was the fact that the emperor himself placed it on their head that made it all worthwhile. And that is the picture that Paul gives us in this last statement. Paul is saying, "Because I have fought the good fight, because I finished the race, because I have kept the faith, I've got a trophy coming." And Paul is quick to say, "But wait a second, hold on there. It's not just for me. It is for anyone who's on Jesus' team, who has run the race, who has fought the good fight to the end, and who has that burning desire to see their coach, to see their leader, to see Jesus again. It's for anybody who does what I did, who lives a life for God." And so that's it. 70 years from now, or 50, or 30, or however many years it may be, when you're 88 years old and you're looking back on your life, will you be able to say with Paul, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." It's like our friend Steve Smith often says. He says, "The gift of eternal life is free, but that's when the work begins." Are you fighting for the cause of Christ? Are you running the race that the Lord has entered you in? Are you living out the call that he has placed on your life? Because according to Paul, that is the secret to living a successful life. And it is my hope and prayer for each and every one of us that when we reach the end of our lives, we would be able to make that claim. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we've had to study your word, God. And I just pray, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, you would empower all of us, Father, to stay in the race, to fight the good fight, to finish well, Lord. We love you, Father, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.